content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. Now, the Friends group was founded in 1989. They now have more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that right after the program. I'm your host, George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today on this program. And this program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Now, the library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well, both digital and some cassettes still left. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. If you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. Now, this month, we're going to take a look at some of the most popular books checked out during the month of November 2016 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. We're going to begin the program with a book entitled Property of a Noblewoman by Danielle Steele, a very popular author. In Danielle Steele's thrilling new novel, a woman's legacy shaped by tragedy, fortitude, and undying devotion transforms lives and hearts long after she is gone and fulfills at last her most precious bequest. Faded photographs of a glamorous couple in post-war Europe, old letters hinting of tragic loss, and a breathtaking array of magnificent jewelry, spectacular stones in exquisite settings. These are the contents of a safe deposit box long abandoned in a New York City bank. If no heir can be identified, the jewelry will be auctioned. But who is the woman who left such a fortune and no will? Two people, drawn together by chance, begin to unravel the mystery. Jane Willoughby is a law clerk at the surrogate's court, and Philip Lawton, a fine arts expert for Christie's auction house. They are simply doing their jobs when they come to the bank to inspect the contents of the box. But for both Jane and Philip, the search turns personal, and their efforts to reconstruct an enigmatic life will lead from New York to London and Paris to Rome and Naples, and a series of stunning revelations. 18-year-old Marguerite Pearson left America with a broken heart in the shadow of World War II. She found a new life in Europe, but forever mourned what she left behind. As the truth about Marguerite's extraordinary history, her forbidden love affair, and her family's treachery is slowly revealed, more people are drawn into the puzzle that Jane and Philip have pieced together, and one among them will inherit the most unexpected gift of all. Sounds like a good one. It's called Property of a Noblewoman by Danielle Steele. And Danielle Steele had another very popular book on the distribution list this past month. It's called The Apartment. And I was just reading now that Danielle Steele has more than 650 million readers around the world, which is pretty incredible. If you haven't had a chance to listen to one of her books, might be a good time. The one that was the second most popular during the month of November was called The Apartment. And it's a great look at the friendship of four women living together in Hell's Kitchen in New York. Here's how the story goes. Claire Kelly, who is 28 and a shoe designer at a company that doesn't really value her work, they want simple and she wants flashy, and she's frustrated at her job. Abby Williams, who is 29, who's a creative writer and in a horrible relationship with her boyfriend. Morgan Shelby, who works on Wall Street and has a great boyfriend, and Max, who owns an awesome restaurant. And Sasha Hartman, who's in medical school at NYU. Now, the four of them end up living together in a big loft, and they get along like sisters and family. Well, the book follows their lives today, 5 years after they all moved in together. Claire and Abby had the place to themselves for 4 years before renting out the other two rooms. They all come and go as they have busy lives and might just pass in the hallway. Every Sunday night they have roommate dinner with Max cooking, and anyone is welcome. Claire is sending her resume out looking for that right job and meets Morgan's boss, a rich Wall Street guy, and they start dating and they fall in love. Abby finally sees the light with her boyfriend and decides to get back to her writing and meets the right person to help her along. Morgan and Max are doing great until something unexpected happens and a work situation arises, both of which will change her life forever. And Sasha soon meets a fellow doctor, and they are instantly attracted and fall in love, something she wasn't counting on. Her identical twin sister is a model and gets into a situation that has a profound effect on Sasha. Now, as a reviewer says, The Apartment is a really well-written book. The characters are fleshed out, and you feel like you're friends with them. At the heart of the book is love, friendship, and a family bond. And yes, it is about four women that do live together, and believe it or not, they do get along. No catfights, arguments, just support for one another. If this is how people live in Hell's Kitchen in New York, sign me up, the reviewer says. That sounds like a very good book, too. It's called The Apartment, and that one's by Danielle Steele as well. Now we'll move on to another one of the very popular books during the month of November. It's called Family Jewels, and it was written by Stuart Woods. At the start of bestseller Woods' breezy 37th Stone Barrington novel, it's right after Scandalous Behavior, by the way, wealthy divorcee Carrie Fisk hires the New York City detective turned attorney to dissuade her ex-husband, Harvey Biggers, from stalking her and to remove Biggers from her will. Well, Stone tasks his associate, former boxer Fred Flicker, with the first assignment, and he accepts Carrie's invitation for a weekend of business and pleasure in the Hamptons so that he might undertake the second. Stone revises the document but barely has time to sample his lobster salad before discovering a dead body with ties to Biggers. He's soon embroiled in a mystery that involves a priceless object with cultural and historical significance. Tony trappings, colorful characters, and a magnificent MacGuffin provide ample distraction from the occasional dangling plot thread and the implausible ease and frequency with which Stone lands lucrative cases and beds beautiful women. Dry-witted dialogue keeps the tone light and drives this glossy, modern take on the classic detective story. It is called Family Jewels by Stuart Woods, and it was the third most popular book that was loaned out in November by the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Now we're going to talk about a book called Preacher's Bloodpath by William W. Johnstone, and I was not too familiar with this, so I'm going to give you a little background on this series. This is a whole series of books, and perhaps you've listened to several of them. Before the legend of Preacher, there was a man, and before the man, there was a boy, and in this thrilling novel series, William W. Johnstone tells the story of a young man filled with wanderlust and raw courage, who would someday become the hero of Johnstone's acclaimed Mountain Man series. On nothing more than a lark, he leaves his family and begins a journey from Ohio westward. Along the way, he runs up against badlands and bad men as well, loses his freedom, gains his freedom, and learns the first rule of the frontier: do whatever it takes to survive. With ruthless enemies after him, both white men and Indians, he'll head for a place as brutal as it is beautiful, the wilderness of the Rocky Mountains. 2 years later, he will come back down from the mountaintop with new skills and a new future as one of the most feared and admired men of his time, a man called Preacher. So that's who Preacher is, and there have been a bunch of books in this series. This one is entitled Preacher's Bloodbath. And here, Preacher takes on the last of the Aztecs in his biggest, bloodiest showdown yet. There are a million ways to die in the Rockies and a million predators, natural or otherwise, but even a seasoned mountain dweller like Preacher is shocked by the latest horror lurking in the hills. Trappers are being hunted down like animals, captured, murdered, mutilated, their hearts carved out of their chests. Some of the victims were Preacher's friends. Now two others, Audie and Nighthawk, have gone missing. Preacher is determined to track them down before they end up on the chopping block. But nothing can prepare him for what's waiting at the end of the trail. A secret cult as old as the Aztecs, a warrior priest with a lust for blood, and an epic battle that begins and ends with the ultimate sacrifice. I don't know how I have missed this series. It sounds like a really good one. It's called Preacher's Bloodbath, this particular book I've been talking about, by William W. Johnstone, and it's part of an entire series there, and it also sounds like a good one. Now, here's a familiar name. I think just about every month I read something by this fellow. Of course, it's James Patterson. And this is a book called Confessions of a Murder Suspect. Here's the plot for this one. 16-year-old Tandy Angel comes from a family of outstanding achievers. Her parents are worth millions. Her mom earns with stocks, and her dad owns a pharmaceutical company. Well, she and her three siblings surpass all other kids in strength, intelligence, performance, talents, and focus. Matthew is a famous football player. 10-year-old Hugo has muscle strength beyond imagination. And Tandy's twin brother, Harry, is a prodigy in art and music. Tandy is a genius with a bit of a reputation for suppressing her emotions. Is all this talent genetic, or could it be their strict upbringing? There is no junk food or non-educational TV for these kids, and if they screw up, they get walloped with some humdinger punishments. Or perhaps the secret of their success is related to the special vitamins that Mr. Angel created in his lab. All of this success comes crashing down when Mr. and Mrs. Angel are found dead in their bedroom. With the apartment locked and no sign of forced entry, Tandy and her brothers are the main suspects for murder. As a result, their detested Uncle Peter moves in to act as guardian, setting their tension-filled nerves on the edge. And despite the trusted family lawyer working to keep the kids out of jail, it's not enough. The media targets the kids, and the police are positive of their suspects. The Angel family is going down. However, Tandy decides she's going to do everything in her power to discover the truth. She's the genius, right? She starts investigating, interrogating the neighbors, searching through drawers, and doing anything possible to shed some light and clear the family name. Along the way, she uncovers some shocking secrets about everyone in the Angel household, including herself. No matter what happens, Tandy is determined to find out the truth, even if it means discovering that she is the guilty one with the blank spots in her memory. It's entirely possible. Now, James Patterson, along with co-writer Maxine Petro, team up for this fast-paced, intriguing mystery that will grab hold of readers from the first sentence. They chose to use Tandy as the narrator, speaking directly to the reader, bringing him or her up close and personal to the action, mystery, and mayhem. The thrills are enhanced with the prospect that Tandy may be guilty. She can't say for sure. She has a few blank spots in her memory and maybe even a bit of a motive. As she uncovers the many tangled layers of the Angel family, lots of shocking secrets are revealed. This is strong, captivating, and intense storytelling. Definitely keep an eye out for this writing team, and good news, the last page implies that the story will continue. That review was written a couple of years ago by Chris Shanley Dillman. And That book, it's not a new one, it's been around for a few years, but it's called Confessions of a Murder Suspect by James Patterson, who has written more books than any of us can count, and he is a great mystery writer. That wasn't the only book by James Patterson we're going to be talking about on this program. There's another one coming up in just a minute or so. But right now, let's talk about a book called Miss Julia Lays Down the Law by Anne B. Ross. And she's also quite popular, and you probably have heard or read the Miss Julia series before. It's up to Miss Julia to sort out the murder of a hoity-toity newcomer in the latest edition to the New York Times best-selling series. Anne B. Ross's most recent addition to the series, Miss Julia's Marvelous Makeover, was the first to hit the printed New York Times bestseller list. So Miss Julia fans, both new and old, will be especially keen to get their hands on the next one. The 16th in the series, Miss Julia Lays Down the Law. That's the book we're talking about right now, and it's guaranteed to be the Steel Magnolia's most exciting adventure yet. It's November, and Miss Julia is looking forward to some quiet time during the holidays. Now, that is until snobby Connie Claiborne and her rich husband move to town. At first, Miss Julia and the other ladies are pleased to be invited over for coffee. But the afternoon turns into a slap in the face when their hostess spouts nonstop criticism about Abbotsville. "Why? How dare she?" Days later, Miss Julia decides to confront Connie, woman to woman. But when she arrives, Connie is lying on the kitchen floor, lifeless, in a pool of blood. Who could have done this? Miss Julia will need to find out fast, particularly because her fingerprints are now all over the crime scene. It's called Miss Julia Lays Down the Law by Anne B. Ross. And that also is another one in a long series. I think the 16th, we said. That's the 16th book in that series. Now, back to that James Patterson fellow again. This is a book called Bullseye, and this was very popular this past month as well. Caught in the crosshairs of a deadly standoff, Detective Michael Bennett must kill or be killed. Snow blankets the avenues of Manhattan's exclusive Upper West Side. The storm is the perfect cover for a fashionable, highly trained team of lethal assassins as they prowl the streets, hunting their prey. But their first hit is simply target practice. Their next mission may very well turn the Cold War red hot once again. Stepping directly into the line of fire, the President of the United States is in New York for a summit at the United Nations with his Russian counterpart. Pulled away from his family and pressed into service, Detective Michael Bennett must trace the source of a threat that could rip the country apart and ignite a war the likes of which the world has never seen. With allegiances constantly in doubt and no one above suspicion, only Bennett can save the president and the country before the assassin's deadly kill shot hits its mark. That is a book called Bullseye. It's a very, very good one. It kind of reminds me of a new TV show that just came out this year, Designated Survivor, on one of the television networks. I don't know if you've had a chance to see or listen to that one, but that's a good one. So this book sounds very exciting, Bullseye by James Patterson. And I guess this is our month for repeats, because now we're going to look at another book by Danielle Steele. And this one is called Blue. Here's the plot. Jenny Carter was once a rising star in TV news, married to a top anchorman, with a 3-year-old son and a full and happy life in Beverly Hills, California, until her whole world dissolved in a single instant on the freeway 2 days before Christmas. In the aftermath, she pieces her life back together and tries to find meaning in her existence as a human rights worker in the worst areas around the globe. Then, on the anniversary of the fateful accident, and wrestling with the lure of death herself, she meets a boy who will cause her life to change forever yet again. 13-year-old Blue Williams has been living on the streets, abandoned by his family, rarely attending school, and utterly alone. Following her instincts, Jenny reaches out to him. Leery of everyone, he runs from her again and again, but he always returns, and each time their friendship grows. Blue glows with outsized spirit and an irresistible mix of innocence and wisdom beyond his years. Jenny offers him respect as they form an unusual bond and become the family they each lost. But just as Blue is truly beginning to trust her, she learns of a shocking betrayal that he has been hiding. Is it a wound too deep to heal, or will she be able to fight the battle that will make them both whole again? Blue is the number one New York Times bestselling author Danielle Steele at her finest, a probing and emotionally gripping story of dark secrets revealed, second chances, and the power of love and courage to overcome life's greatest challenges. And again, that book was called Blue by Danielle Steele. And now we're going to turn to a book that is not a novel, but a book that was written by one of the men who is considered one of the great people of our time. I'm referring, of course, to Billy Graham. This is a book called Where I Am, Heaven, Eternity, and Our Life Beyond. It's kind of a final chapter from Billy Graham. While his earthly vision dims, the glory of heaven is illuminated as Billy Graham, the beloved evangelist, shares from his past and his present the reality of eternity. Although Billy Graham may no longer preach from the stadiums of the world, in this book you will sense his heart still beat strong with a resounding assurance that he will spend eternity with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In Where I Am, Mr. Graham invites and strongly encourages all of us to contemplate our eternal hope. When asked, "Where is heaven?" Mr. Graham has wisely replied, "Heaven is where Jesus Christ is, and I'm going to him soon." The greatest promise ever given to the human race came from the lips of our Redeemer when Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And that is from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Now, just after his 95th birthday, Mr. Graham proclaimed with resolve, "When I die, tell others that I've gone to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's where I am." And I thought I would read the copy from the flap of this book as well. I thought you might like to hear that. And here it goes. "As our nation and world travail in the midst of political, economic, and cultural uncertainties, we can find comfort in the hope that comes from the unchanging truth of God's Word. Whether talking with a U.S. president, a world leader, or the common man, or being interviewed on network television, Billy Graham has always begun his answers with, 'The Bible says.'" In Where I Am, Mr. Graham shares what the Bible has to say about eternity from all of its 66 books. Messages of truth, warning, love, and the certainty of the future, all gleaned by a man who would like to be remembered solely as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each short chapter examines the reality that each of us chooses where to spend life after death, heaven or hell. From the Old Testament writer who composed "Show Me Your Ways, O Lord," and that's from the Psalm 25, verse 4, to the New Testament writer who penned the words of Jesus, "Whoever believes in me should not perish," and that is John 3:16. There is hope for anyone who puts his or her faith and trust in the one who gives us the promise, "Where I am, there you may be also." And that's the copy from the flap on the book of Where I Am, Heaven, Eternity, and Our Life Beyond, and it's by Billy Graham, and it was one of the most popular books this past month in the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Now we're going to, well, we've got time for just one more book, and as it turns out, this is the 10th most popular book during the month, and it is, yet again, James Patterson and Maxine Petro. And this is a book that is called The 15th Affair. As she settles into motherhood and a happy marriage, Lindsay Boxer thinks she has found domestic bliss. But when a beautiful, alluring blonde woman with links to the CIA disappears from the scene of a brutal murder at a downtown luxury hotel, Lindsay's life begins to unravel. Now, before she can track down the woman for questioning, a plane crash plunges San Francisco into chaos, and Lindsay's husband, Joe, vanishes. The deeper she digs, the more Lindsay suspects that Joe shares a secret past with the mystery blonde. Thrown into a tailspin and questioning everything she thought she knew, Lindsay turns to the Women's Murder Club for help as she tries to uncover the truth. Filled with a pulse-pounding international intrigue, 15th Affair proves that all is fair in love, war, and espionage. And that was The 15th Affair by James Patterson and Maxine Petro. I do actually have time to squeeze one more in. This is a book called The Fixer by Joseph Finder. When former investigative reporter Rick Hoffman loses his job, fiancé, and apartment, his only option is to move back into and renovate the home of his miserable youth, now empty and in decay since the stroke that put his father in a nursing home. As Rick starts to pull apart the old house, he makes an electrifying discovery, millions of dollars hidden in the walls. It's enough money to completely transform Rick's life and everything he thought about his father. Yet the more of his father's hidden past that Rick brings to light, the more dangerous his present becomes. Soon he finds himself on the run from deadly enemies, desperate to keep the past buried, and only solving the mystery of his father, a man who has been unable to communicate, comprehend, or care for himself for almost 20 years. And that will save Rick if he can survive long enough to do it. The book is called The Fixer by Joseph Finder. And that really is all the time that we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for joining me today. If you like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for North Carolina Library for the Blind or call toll-free at 1-888-388-2460. That's 1-888-388-2460. They'd love to hear from you. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books right here on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for a print and visually handicapped audience. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time.